podcast.
Now, normally I would dedicate the episode to a corresponding jersey number of a player who may or may not be particularly well known, but this week I think I'm going to have to dedicate it to Ray Allen, who was the whole reason we got a Game 7 of the 2013 NBA Finals, and we'll certainly talk about that in a little bit as we reach the end of the NBA season. And I know at least one of us is excited about the result of that.
Yes.
And it is a dynamic duo this week, as Leftos is having a bit of computer, or rather internet problems. He may join us a little later if he can sort that out, but if not, it will be myself, Andrew, and of course, Ben Arcane.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Now, Ben's in a pretty good mood because his team's been winning lately. Mine, not so much. So he'll be smugly proud, and I'll be shoehorning the Bulls into every conversation somehow. But
leadership challenge: Bulls win, damn it.
That's right. Even when the Bulls have lost to a team, I'll have to mention, you know, the Bulls were involved in the contest. But I mean, go Blackhawks, I guess.
They at least won NHL. Something. And
yeah,
even Derrick Rose was at those games. Suited.
That's right. He was as suited up for those games as he was for any Bulls game this year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And there was a couple of notes on him which we can touch on later. But I suppose, yes, congratulations to the Miami Heat, first of all, and for winning back-to-back titles. They and NBA 2K14 cover athlete LeBron James, of course, finals MVP for the second year running. And Ben, yes, I know, obviously very happy with the result. And I was going for the Spurs, but, you know, you can't be a hater. The Spurs had a chance to win. The Heat took care of business. LeBron sealed it in the clutch. And did you catch the game live?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes.
I watched that one live. I even stayed up till, 5:30, 6:30 a.m. watching the Heat parade.
Oh, yeah. 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 Quite a good contest to finish it, you know, competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely probably made up for a sort of a bitter Game 6 in the way the terms of the reffing was. I mean, yeah, we had an interesting game from it, but it sort of left a bad taste in the mouth with the refereeing.
Yeah, so. It was certainly, and I ranted about that at length in last week's episode, if anyone wants to go back and listen to that, and about the diva behavior of Joey Crawford, and that's a term that the J.R. Locke used in response to our last podcast, and thank you for that, because that was accurately summed up and perfectly summed up what I went on for about 5 or 10 minutes about in one sentence. So, yeah, if I just said that, that would have said it all. But nevertheless, yeah, we didn't have any of that at all, which was nice to see. Feel bad for Tim Duncan. You know, you could see just how crushed he was when he missed that little bunny around the hoop there. But, you know, even if he does, LeBron comes down, hits that big shot, they're still up too. So, you know, at the end of the day, he got the job done. And I guess... yeah, is there anything else to say apart from that? I mean, I guess we'll get to it a bit more in depth a bit later on and talk about the way the season wrapped up and LeBron's legacy and all those things. But shall we get some basketball video game news out of the way first?
Let's show.
Okay. So after a few weeks where we've actually had things to talk about, it has slowed down again. But there are some, news is just over on the horizon. We're going to get some Q&As and things going and previews coming in the coming weeks, and we'll be bringing you all that coverage at the NLSC. But I suppose the top news stories for that, we do have a couple of preview articles out there with interviews with Scott O'Gallagher and Sean O'Brien, and also an open letter, Ben, from Sean O'Brien over on the official website, came out last week. And what did you make of that?
It was good, open and honest messaging, which is
quite candid.
Yeah, you know, for those who don't know, Sean O'Brien left to work, I think, from memory, I think it's Zynga, I think it was.
After NBA Live 10, yep.
And sort of September last year, Andrew Wilson, who is the CEO for the sports division of EA Sports, asked him to if he'd like to come back and work on NBA Live. For those who don't know, EA has been trying to get back a lot of their top developers that they've had and bring in some of their top talent into this team to obviously try and get the title back on track. And Sean O'Brien was definitely one of the key influences in the success that NBA Live was having. So, and right now he's leading the way with it. So I think it's a good starting point with the open and honest letter. And it sort of shows they're willing to admit their mistake and the honesty and of why some things went wrong. So, I'm hoping that we get more communication. I mean, it doesn't have to be sort of the constant sort of negative side of things, but I'm hoping that from this open communication towards the community, even sort of between Live 09 and Live 10, there was a lot of communication.
A lot of transparency about what they were doing and everything, and all the developer logs. And I agree with you. I think I get the impression, too, that they're looking to do that again this year. Obviously, a good idea. As we've said before, they're going to need to show as well as tell.
Yeah.
And Sean says that in his letter, in the open letter to the community, and says, look, you know, we're not going to say they're not going to BS anyone. They're not going to, you know, say, you know, don't be skeptical. They understand all that, and that's good. And he did say that, you know, the time for talk is over. And a few people did aptly point out that, he is talking in the letter. That's all it is at the moment. But I think you do have to have those opening remarks to sort of say, look, this is the direction we're doing. We're going to have these previews. Look, we're going to bring you this stuff and show you all this stuff and answer questions. You mentioned answering questions as the previous season goes on as well. So we'll see how it goes. But I did like that. That transparency and the candid nature of saying, look, we haven't been where we want to be, and you know, we understand people are skeptical, and it's going to be a hard road for us to win some of you back, but we like what we're doing, and stay tuned, and they're going to bring us some stuff, so we'll keep an eye out as always. And once again, there's been a couple of previews, just chatting from E3. A few people, GameStop posted a video yesterday. It's a little bit a couple of weeks out of E3, but it was conducted back at E3 with Scott O'Gallagher. So, I mean, not a whole lot of new or different information coming out in these previews, but everyone's kind of got their own perspective or a different question here or there. So,
there's also been interviews with, again, Sean O'Brien, and even the Hip Hop Gamer has posted an interview with a couple of the other staff members from EA at E3.
Yeah.
They've all have a little bit of insight. You might get a few little tidbits in explanation
here and there. Yeah. Absolutely, we're checking them out, and there's a couple I haven't posted yet on the site, and
I just want to post up. Give a heads up. Apparently, 3 p.m. US time, there's a Twitter Q&A with Scott O'Gallagher this Thursday.
We'll be sending some questions along with that, of course, and we encourage anyone to do it, and that's at EA Sports NBA is the official Twitter.
Yep.
And of course, while you're on Twitter, you might as well follow us at the NLSC. And if you forget that, I'll plug it at the end of the show too. But so that'll be fun, and hopefully we'll get a few more interesting tidbits there. And again, that's the transparency, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we want.
And NBA Live 09 and Live 10 was successful in. I mean, yeah, sure enough, they got the community feedback on, in a sense, things like some signature shots, the arcs, the shooting arcs and all that stuff.
Oh, I remember that,
Player accessories. What else was there? There was a couple other little details here and there as well that, you know, we were able to...
Was it whether players took bank shots or not? How often they used the backboard, things like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was from memory as well. And especially with the player DNA and the accessory stuff, which Marcus Stevenson at the time was in charge of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
He was getting a lot of the details for that. So he's hoping that we can sort of get that sort of feedback going and hopefully progress even to a little bit further with that sort of communication again. So yeah, it's a good positive sign at this stage. So community, this is your chance
ask questions, and make feedback, instead of suggest feedback. So
don't hold back.
But make it constructive.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Just go, your game sucks, or
that doesn't help.
Freaking release. Come on, just...
Yeah.
Yeah, be...
Not that we don't understand that point of view.
Yes.
I mean, and we're not trying to be EA fanboys, but I mean, if somebody asks you for feedback, then, constructive feedback is going to help. I mean, if you don't, if you're not interested in that, then, you know, well, there's another game, you know, NBA 2K14, obviously. Yeah. So everyone's got a choice.
Exactly.
And that's, as we've said, the great thing about having two games is that you actually, you know, there is that competition and the choice. Speaking of NBA 2K14, no news at all. Well, I mean, they have, they did mention that LeBron's on the cover again in a little post to celebrate the NBA Finals. They mentioned he was a... They They mentioned he was the third player to win MVP, Finals MVP, and the championship in the same season, which is wrong. He's about the eighth. But, you know, if you've seen some of the official roster updates, you know that the research isn't always there. But he is actually the second player to do it back to back after Michael Jordan. So
they didn't have synergy stats.
Did not have synergy, no. And it wasn't updated by the hour, so. But that's a nice little segue. We even though there isn't NBA 2K14 news, we do actually have one little tidbit for NBA 2K13 this week. The final roster went live today, which unlocks all the injured players. And if you're on the consoles playing my team, it also unlocks all the players for use there, including all previously injured players, of course. And it has come through for all platforms, including the PC. I actually couldn't get the PC update until about an hour ago, actually. But it's come through and it's up on the site if you want to download our offline pack. And yeah, I mean it's your usual 2K roster, official roster. It's hasn't added any missing players. There's no more ratings adjustments, but all the players are unlocked. So if you're using the Red Modding Center or Leftos' roster editor, or just want to use it for the online games and whatever, you know it's there and it's the last one. There won't be any more rookies added to it because they can't do that for licensing issues, of course. But yeah, so that's out. So enjoy, I guess. I think that's about it for the basketball video game news. One quick note about the site. I had a couple of questions. We are actually having a few technical hiccups at the moment. We've been trying out a couple of solutions to address some of the downtime we've been having lately and the slowdowns. So some of our files haven't been available, including the current roster updates for NBA Live 2005 through 08. Hopefully within the next 12 to 24 hours, we'll have that all sorted out and we'll all be good as gold and working as normal. I'm certainly working with our host to do that, and he's helping us out and taking care of all the heavy lifting here. I'm just sending feedback and asking, please fix this. In this case, it's beyond my control, but hopefully have that fixed up soon. So thank you everyone for your patience. And any questions, yeah, just hit me up on Twitter or on the official Facebook page, facebook.com/thenlsc. And yes, I will plug that one again as well at the end of the show. So, but I'll try and keep everyone informed there. So that's probably all we have to say on the news front, unless there's anything else you can think of, Ben?
No,
that's it. So, yeah, once again, a bit of a quiet time for basketball video game news, but the draft is coming up, so I'd expect both EA Sports and 2K Sports to be giving a tidbit or two around about the draft, and obviously the EA will be doing the Q&A on Twitter. So, yeah, stay tuned, I guess. So... let's see. Well, I suppose we might as well get straight on to the NBA Finals, since we touched on it briefly. But yeah, I was watching the game too, and like I said, a fitting end to a series that wasn't too bad, actually. I mean, Q-Baller, and when Q-Baller asked me where I'd rank the finals, because before the finals, I did my five favorite and five least favorite in the Friday Five, and I might even put it in my top 20. Because we did have some exciting games, and went to a 7-game series, of course. But for me, I was going for the Spurs, so I can't quite put it in my top 10. And 6 of my top 10 are taken up by Bulls championships anyway. So there's not a lot of room to crack the top 10 unless the Bulls get back there. But you've got to be happy with the finals. Your favorite team won, and did so in. Game 7, it's hard to go past an exciting series like that.
Oh, yeah. And that was actually, I felt, a really good game, too. It wasn't a letdown, I don't believe. I think, with the Heat-Indiana Pacers game, I think we sort of felt a little bit flat after that game because it wasn't as competitive as we were hoping.
Was a blowout by the third.
Yeah. So I'm glad it was essentially still came down to the last few minutes of the game and wasn't, written off at halftime, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the very final minute.
Yeah.
So, and you can't go wrong. And I agree. I thought the Heat were going to, after game 6, I thought the Spurs were going to be spent, and that was going to be it, and it was going to be a blowout. And I was going to get on here and say, well, everyone hoping for game 7. hope you enjoyed that anticlimactic game. But I was happy to be proven wrong, even if the Spurs didn't win. I complained about the reffing last week, but I can't say that the refs handed the game or the series to the Heat at all. That they won it. They were the better team four games out of seven. So, you know, that's, like I say, hats off to them. And LeBron, who struggled mightily through the first three games, came alive and certainly earned that MVP trophy, I think, with that performance. And, you know, it's funny because his speech about the haters at the end there is probably really only rile up the haters more.
Yeah.
I don't like the term haters anyway, and this discussion's going on a bit in the forum at the moment. I don't like, because people just throw it out there as dismissal for anything. Like, you say, oh, LeBron struggled a bit in the first three games, you know, only 40% shooting. Oh, you hater. I'm like, no, that's a legitimate criticism, really. But there are definitely true haters out there. I'm still going to say that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and that a lot of the comparisons don't take a lot of stuff into account. And I actually posted a Friday Five a few weeks back on the with my thoughts on the LeBron Michael Jordan comparisons, which you can go back and read if you like. And I certainly encourage that and give me some feedback on those articles. But yeah, I mean, LeBron certainly erased, wouldn't you say, Ben, the memories of the 2011 finals. I mean,
yeah.
he choked then, but it's a very different LeBron now.
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely the hate should... I mean, the whole clutch choking situation references should stop now. He's got two championships. You can't argue with that. You know, he's got two championships at age 28, you know, when Jordan only had his first one at that stage from memory.
Yeah, but then Jordan entered the league at 21.
Yeah,
so the age
difference. Yeah, but even still, it's, I think people should calm the hell down. There's no need for it anymore. So,
if you're going to make a criticism of LeBron, and you certainly still can, I mean, no one's perfect, then make it unbiased, because it does look a little ridiculous if you're saying he's lousy or such, because
yeah,
he's just too damn good to be called a lousy player. Although I will say that his claim that he could shoot 90% from the free throw line if he wanted to and be a 50-40-90 player if he wanted to, I do question that, because I'm wondering, well, you're saying you're not shooting 90% from the free throw line because you don't want to? Why don't you want to?
Yeah, that was a bit of a silly remark. But
yeah, I mean, if he makes a silly remark, I mean, hell. Charles Barkley made a career out of silly remarks, and we love him for it. We love Sir Charles for that. But you know, it's fine to dislike players because there's rivalries, and that's fun. I mean, everyone's got to have a villain. You know, the Celtics and Lakers fans obviously not going to cheer for each other,
yeah.
And that's just the way it goes. But yeah, fine to dislike, but drop the stupid hate and such. And and if you do, if you don't like the result of the real life, just take it to the basketball games and beat the Heat in the virtual world. It makes you feel better. That's how one takes their revenge, of course, in the virtual world. Or just take a deep breath, or send me money, or anything else.
Yeah.
Anything else that makes you feel better. But
I like that option. That's a good one. Share the wealth.
I should note that with the Spurs losing the finals, only the Bulls have gone to the NBA finals five or more times and won every time. So, you know, I'm somehow shoehorning the Bulls into this whole situation.
Living up to the words that you spoke earlier. So
that's right. Yep. So, you know, congratulations to the Bulls. And of course, the Heat. The Heat did not reach 70 wins this season, so the Bulls still stand alone in that respect. So, you know, once again, congratulations to Chicago for doing nothing since 1996. As far as, well, not nothing, but as far as stopping someone from reaching 72 wins. Oh, well, they stopped the Heat's winning streak, so maybe they did take a win or two from them. But anyway, yeah. And let's not forget, they took one game against him in the second round, so, you know, it wasn't a clean sweep all the way through to the finals.
No.
So, you know, but yeah, the heat of the champions, and I guess everyone's just going to deal with that. But it will be interesting next season, because Derrick Rose will be back, and apparently he is looking like his old self again, and that's actually interesting, because Tom Thibodeau worked him out and said, you know, now he's actually got that explosiveness, and he's able to do the things that he couldn't do earlier on when he was medically cleared but still not quite himself. And it makes me wonder why they didn't just say that at the time, because it would have ended the speculation.
Yeah, you know, and I suppose, any disgruntled fans, you know, because, again, it wasn't clear enough messaging.
Yeah.
And then that's what's, I know, what seems to be the theme lately is not clear enough messaging.
That's right, yeah. They kind of pulled the Microsoft there.
Yep.
on that situation. But, you know, Rose will be back. The Bulls, who did, you know, and pretty well for themselves this season, considering all the injuries again. I mean, they'll be back. The Pacers could be back strong. So the Heat, the East might actually be a bit more of an interesting playoff run next year throughout the first couple of rounds. Obviously, the Pacers made it interesting. But, you know, the Heat are still the team to beat. And out West, I mean, where do you think the Spurs go from here? Do you think they've got at least one more run in them? Or was this it?
I think they'll still go strong, even if one of the major three that they have retire.
Turnobly?
Yeah. I think he might. But he might want that opportunity to sort of try and redeem himself.
Indeed, pull a James Harden.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. I think he's got a long summer to sort of think about it. So.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they could definitely make the second round, and they could pose a threat, maybe in the Western Conference. But I think, barring injuries to other teams and like the crazy scenario that happened this year, it could, so many injuries. Yeah, it could be tough. But I'd say definitely second round that they'll get to.
I don't want to count them out.
No,
because we've counted them out probably the last 6 years, and yet here they are, one win away from a championship.
Yeah.
This year, so. But at the same time, it does feel like this may have been their last shot.
Yeah.
I think they'll certainly be up around there, 50 wins, you know, decent seed, probably past the first round, like you say, and a contender with a chance at it. But, you know, the Thunder will be back, and with Westbrook healthy, and, you know, the Nuggets, who just signed Brian Shaw to be their head coach, you know, if they continue on and they're healthy and they kind of run into some bad luck with injuries and got bounced in the first round. I mean, if they're better, the Warriors seem to be on the rise.
Yep.
And the Clippers, you know, they're
just traded for Doc Rivers,
quote unquote, traded for Doc Rivers and got him on board. And now because they can't get KG because that would be tampering. Now they're talking about bringing in a third team. So, oh no, this is actually a different trade we're talking about.
Yep.
So let's see if the NBA likes that. So they'll be a better coach team, I would imagine, with Doc Rivers rather than Vinny Del Negro. And Chris Paul looks like he's eager to re-sign with Doc Rivers around. And, you know, they'll still have a pretty good lineup one way or the other. So. And who knows what the Lakers will be doing, I suppose. And
they'll be waiting for the indecision part two to play out.
They'll be waiting for indecision, yeah. And Kobe, of course, the epic comeback.
Yeah.
Of course,
it would be the battle who comes back first, D Rose or Kobe.
Yeah, Rose might actually win that one this time since he's had a whole season to sit out now.
True,
but so it will be interesting next year. But you know, in the meantime, the haters have just got to live with it, I guess. And as I said, even though I'm not a Heat fan, you know, hats off for them for what they did. And and the draft, of course, is coming up this week. And we were talking about it before we recorded, and you were saying you sort of not that excited about it this year.
Not really. I mean, there's only one player that I'm interested in hoping that he gets drafted, obviously, because the connection of coaching this player.
Yep.
So, but other than that, I really haven't sort of focused on too many other players in this year's draft. I'm more excited about next year's, you know, with Andrew Wiggins and all that stuff, if he's going to declare for it and stuff. So,
yeah.
And there's a few other little players as well that I'm sort of keen to see. I think a couple of the North Carolina guys that didn't declare in that. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't follow the college game as closely as perhaps I should. I've actually taken a slight interest in some of the mocks the last couple of days, or the last 24 hours or so, because of a rumor that's emerged that the Bulls might be trading Luol Deng to the Wizards for Emeka Okafor and the third overall pick,
I think they're getting a little bit of talks going on for Rip Hamilton as well.
Okay.
So
somebody wants Rip Hamilton?
Well, I think they're testing the waters and seeing if they're getting a nibble.
Oh, okay. They might want to use better bait It, you know, no disrespect to Rip Hamilton, who's had a great career, but he's certainly, well, when you fall out of the, when you fall out of the rotation on a team that's injury plagued, you know that your best days might be behind you. So I don't know what kind of trade value they'll get for him, but yeah, so that's actually piqued my interest a little bit in the lottery. And the Cavaliers seem to be shopping their picks, including the number one, I believe.
Yeah.
As they're trying to go for more proven talent, including Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Which
and they're also trying to use their first and 19th pick to trade for LaMarcus Aldridge. There's even talks of trying to lure Paul Pierce. So
2 second rounders.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
A bit of an insulting deal there.
Yeah. And I don't know if
it could be an interesting draft for that matter. Maybe not the players' picks so much as the players that are getting dealt.
Yeah, I think even the Nets, looks like the Nets are going to try and make a play for KG. And of course, now with Doc Rivers got sent to
the Clippers,
yeah, it'd be what would KG do? So, and especially with his trade clause. So,
well, that's right, because he again he's only going to go where he wants to go.
Yep.
And do what he wants to do. So it will be interesting, and if they can find a way to get him to the Clippers, perhaps through that three-team trade of, oh, yeah, it's definitely a different deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But, hey, worth a try. But, yeah, so it will be interesting to see what he does, and certainly if he wants to stay in Boston, well, there's not much they can do about that with a no-trade clause.
So in the end, it could be Rondo's team, and that's really it.
Yeah, and of course, he's coming off the ACL injury. So Boston's, much to the disappointment of our dedicated Celtics fan, Soru, and of course our own Jiao Ming, of course. Yeah, not a great time to be a Celtics fan. But, you know, they do have 17 championships. So if the Lakers and Celtics fans, you know, you've got plenty to comfort yourselves with.
You've had a good run for the moment.
These last 60 years. Yeah. I mean, you've accounted for almost half the championships in that time. So, you know, give someone else a turn.
Yep. Share the wealth.
Go Bobcats.
Or the Hornets. Hornets now.
The Hornets. Or in a couple of years, they'll be the... Is it next season they'll be the Hornets now that the Pelicans...
I have to double check, but I think they can...
I think it's next year. Next season, 2013-14, they'll be the Bobcats one more year, and then I think 14-15, they're going to be the Hornets again.
Yeah, I think that there was enough time in the NBA clause thing to have the sort of renaming.
Yeah, two teams
to be approved. Yep.
Yeah, so not enough time for them to make the change, but probably as we've just said before, you know, I'm getting used to the whole Pelicans name now, and the logo certainly sold me on it a bit more.
Yeah, the branding package was nice and definitely worth it in the long run.
Sean Elliott making fun of them in a Spurs broadcast also also helped sell me the name.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I wanted the Spurs to win the championship, but I didn't want to hear Sean Elliott talking about it. I will say that much. Speaking of logos, the Suns might be making a bit of a branding change as well.
Yep. Well, they were actually going to originally do it for this season, but they didn't get the application in on the deadline. So, but they sort of had a soft rebranding this season. Like, if you notice on the court, the Suns' wordmark on the court was actually different.
Yeah, and actually palindromic.
Yep, if you flip it around, it still says Suns. So that's pretty cool artistic style. It's sort of like the Illuminati sort of symbol. So, yeah.
It's all falling into place.
Yes. Just Jay-Z doesn't have ownership of the team at the moment.
Brooklyn, yeah. But yeah, kind of like the Raptors 3D logo. It's nice to see some of that creativity coming through in the design.
So,
and you especially being a designer and graphic artist, obviously that stuff's going to appeal to you, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Especially seeing that kind of creativity.
Yeah, I've seen some fake mock-ups of the potential jerseys, and you have to sort of laugh about it. I'm waiting to see what they do with it.
Not Conrad's. We do appreciate
Conrad's. Conrad's, you know, A-grade stuff. So, and in fact, he actually got his Hornets design mentioned on ESPN. So
yes.
So congrats to him on that. Well done, boy. You got.
Yeah.
So proud of you.
Yeah, Conrad, of course, developed our logo, the current logo we use, and the background. So,
So, Yeah, like I said, I'm interested to see where they go with it. I hope they're going to be better than some of the recent uniform designs. I'll take the Wizards ones, for example. If you look at each of the logos individually, they're not too bad. But when you put them as a whole package and see like some of the script logos themselves, they're one's in uppercase, one's in lowercase. It's not consistent. Then you got this whole Wizards, then you got the whole Washington Monument Tower thing going on. It's just a confusing
the
branding. Yeah.
Sort of different than,
yeah, it's just a confusing branding, and they couldn't decide what they were going to kind of do. So that's the downside on that. Obviously,
what do you think of the jerseys? The Wizards sort of throwback, kind of throwback to the Bullet Stays.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not the greatest, in my opinion.
Yeah, on one hand, I kind of like that some of the teams are going to the old school look, but at the same time, I feel there was a reason we moved past
the sort of folks retro sort of thing.
Yeah.
The little W in between the star and the shorts is sort of an interesting pickup if you see it. Sort of where the stripe or side paneling on the stripe sort of meets the star, and then it has a color change at the bottom part of the star. You can sort of see the W that sort of looks like the older Wizards W, but more instead of being such a on a skew and sort of abstractly sort of angled and all that. It looks kind of like the W. So whether that was a deliberate thing or just happy coincidence, not too sure. But yeah, I think it could have been stronger. Even if they just went the sort of the classic style, I think that would have probably been a better look. Trying to think.
Well, people hated that their last jersey.
Yeah.
I've seen it make some worst jerseys list. I quite liked that one actually. I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
I didn't like the gold one, the gold alternate they had for a while.
No.
I did think that was a bit weird.
Yeah, that was a bit misplaced. I mean, it was interesting to try and create the sort of polyester effect and all that for the shiny polyester for the PC versions and that back in the day. But
yeah,
it was kind of it didn't really suit.
Yeah.
So
At least it didn't have sleeves.
Yeah, that's true.
And five more teams are apparently going to, or is it five more teams or a total of five? Either way, we're going to see some more sleeve jerseys. And I know you love the sleeve jerseys, man.
And apparently Phoenix Suns are going to be one of them. The orange alternative next season is going to be the sleeved one.
Much to the excitement of Kendall Marshall on Twitter.
Yeah. And like someone's done a mock-up of that, and from the first impression I saw, it reminded me of Houston Astros baseball jersey and all that. Just sort of, yeah, it was just so bad. I really hope that fad dies off really quickly. And all I can say is,
it reminded me of some fluoro orange t-shirts that I might have worn in the 90s as a kid.
It might have
worked. You know?
The hypercolor.
Yeah, maybe they were a bit more baggy in the 90s, because that's how we roll.
Yeah.
In those days, it might be a bit tighter, but it seems like a lot of the players aren't that keen on them, which makes me wonder why you keep doing the experiment. I guess you've got to have a fair enough sample size and try a few different teams and have a few different teams say, well, no, don't take this any further. But nothing you've heard about them's encouraging.
Agreed. Like, I've worn a T-shirt that sort of has that tighter sleeve, and I've tried playing basketball in it. And you don't have the freedom in your arms to shoot properly.
Yeah.
And so I find something that's so it's so tapered and basically spandexy like on the arms, so irritating. And mind you, but I am someone that sort of really hates like tight clothing around the sort of neck area. I feel really uncomfortable around it. So,
well, I think when it comes to sports, there's only certain sports you really want that anyway.
Yeah.
Fencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. But I mean, we've said it before. It's not a bad idea for merchandise. I mean, if you want to have that as a concept to wear rather than a basketball jersey,
yeah.
But for the actual players to wear, you know, that's where I think it's, you could sell it as official merch and say, well, you know, this is a concept inspired by an alternate jersey.
But then would you want it to be so tight-fitting, especially on a more heavy-set person that could be disturbing on the eye?
It's probably not made for the hefty gentleman.
No.
But It yeah, so
it's just the fabric would stretch so bad after three wears.
Yeah, it's not because basketball jerseys have traditionally been kind of looser fitting to allow that the movement and whatnot. So I mean, I guess they're here to stay, or at least they'll be here for at least one more season, unless players really rebel against them. Yep. But yeah, so far not encouraging. And of course, NCAA are doing it too.
Yeah, although a couple of the Adidas teams last season did refuse to wear it.
Oh, really?
Yep. I think there was about three, maybe four colleges that sort of refused it. And a couple of teams only wore it once. So yeah, it was just...
Not glowing reviews.
No, not at all. So, and the NBA sells the NBA, like the player replica T-shirts anyway. That's, you know, that's good enough for merch. It doesn't need to be such a tight fitting mesh hold jersey T-shirt, which you know. So, yeah.
And you got to come up with good designs. I mean, exactly. I still feel like it's kind of weird to have the pinstripes on the shorts and then not
on the jersey. Yeah,
the jersey itself. It's kind of,
and the mismatching yellows.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Chicago Stags jerseys that the Bulls wore as retros a few years back.
Yep. The red jersey, blue shorts. Yep.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's really an eyesore. That is.
Although I don't mind that jersey. Like,
the jersey's fine. It's the red and the blue. Yeah. I mean, like that's one of the things I remember learning when I first started doing web design back in the day, that you don't put blue text on red background or red text on blue background because it looks really amateurish.
Yep.
I mean, that was definitely a jersey that was made for black and white TV.
Yeah.
What limited TV coverage there was at the BAA back in those days. But yeah, that was that's something different. But I don't like those mismatched ones. And indeed, that was the issue with the Wizards jersey we were referring to before, the gold and the black shorts.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'll give it that. But it certainly will be interesting to see what the reaction is. But if Kendall Marshall's Twitter is anything to go by, players aren't exactly looking forward to this experiment. No.
So I think a lot of people will be waiting till the Adidas contract runs out, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which isn't too far away.
2017, isn't it?
Yeah, it ends at the end of the 2016-2017 season.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, if you can hold out a little bit longer and such.
Yep.
You can... Well, it's probably only going to be about 5 to 10 games a season, I suppose. So,
yeah. So
if you've got League Pass and you're watching 82 games of your favorite team, you only see it about 10-15% of the time. So, it's all good, I suppose. But so an interesting times coming up with the draft and such. Like I said, I haven't been following it that closely, but I'm guessing I'll be tuning in on Friday just to see where it all goes and who gets picked where and what kind of trades go down, since there's a lot of buzz in that respect. Any other rumors that you've heard that you want to throw out there?
Let me just bring them up 1 second. Rachel, Pierce, KG. Let's see. The Kevin Love one we sort of covered. The Nets. James Jones and Rashad Lewis exercised their player option. And they're staying.
That's what? They're staying?
Yep, they're staying.
What a surprise. We can opt out, or we can win another championship.
That's a tough choice, that one.
It is, yeah.
Clippers, Magic, pick up Bledsoe for follow trade talks. Shumpert is ready to fill possible void of J.R. Smith in free agency if he goes somewhere.
Yeah, Smith's opted out, but it remains to be seen whether that's just to get a better deal with the Knicks. Although after his postseason performance, I don't know how much money he's going to demand on the open market.
No.
We shall see. I mean, historically, there's always been someone that gets overpaid every offseason because, I mean, there's talent. He's got the talent there.
Yep.
But, certainly sometimes someone will pay over market value for a player. I think the...
The Grizzlies coach, David Joego, whatever his name is, he's been promoted to coach.
Yes. So many coaches got the axe, of winning teams, like the Clippers, Grizzlies...
Nuggets.
And the Nuggets, they all had their best seasons ever, I believe, by winning percentage, and they all fired their coaches. So I actually read a rather candid interview with George Karl about the whole situation. I forget where it was. Sean Drotar actually tweeted it, and it was quite a good read. But, yeah, it's an interesting culture that where a team comes up a little short after a really good season, and then the coach is ousted. But
yeah, and especially one that won Coach of the Year too.
Yeah, that was very strange there. But I'm sure Carr will land on his feet with. Although he was linked to the Grizzlies' job at one point, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess that's fallen through. But,
the other sort of news is Darko Milicic won't seek another NBA contract.
Yes, and in a rather poorly translated interview, appeared to reiterate that his general feeling that he didn't get a fair go. And, you know, I said this in the forum, I feel a lot of Darko's problems he brought on himself with his attitude. You know, he seemed to always want to be handed everything on a silver platter, and you got to earn your way. I mean, there's a lot of players had to go through adversity when they entered the league and didn't get the shot straight away, but they kept fighting and kept their head down. But he pouted and he whined and, you know, made references to assaulting women after that loss. What? In an international game. I mean, it seems like the talent's there, and there's all kinds of factors. Larry Brown not playing him probably didn't help anything, but I don't know. I just felt his attitude held him back at the end of the day. Could have been better if he just not whined and kept working hard and proving, you know, yes, I am that good that you can't hold me back, because you can't hold back talent.
No.
For that long, if you're that talented. So, you know, best of luck to him, I guess. But, you know, he's obviously leaving the NBA with some bitterness and sourness in his mouth. But to be honest, I think the NBA is going to go on just fine without Darko. And I apologize to his many fans in the NLSC forum. I know he doesn't have quite the fan base that Joel Anthony does, but which is to be expected with the greatness of Joel Anthony, naturally. But
oh, you know, I nearly spat out my drink there from laughing.
But nevertheless, you know, best of luck, Darko, but, you know, you had your shot. but you are still a better basketball player than me and richer than I will probably ever be, so, you know, joke's on me, I guess. I still have to wake up, you know, in LeBron's words, I still have to wake up tomorrow and not be an NBA player. Oh, well. Anything else in the NBA this week? Or I guess we're just waiting for the off-season to kick into high gear.
Yeah.
Everyone get... start moving around and people to get overpaid and 15 rumors to come out and two of them to be true.
Yeah.
And always the fun of the off season.
I'm looking forward to seeing if there's actually going to be any surprises.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's always the sort of fun element, and especially in a draft that could be considered relatively boring by normal standards.
Well, this is going to be David Stern's last draft as well,
yeah.
Commissioner. So, you know, let's just see the kind of reaction he gets.
I'm imagining some really strong boos.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a drop the mic moment, though. I mean,
yeah. So you can hate me now, but
yeah.
I've made this much money in my lifetime. Yeah.
You know why you're watching this in other countries? Because I made this league successful. Boo! Yeah. Oh, well then, if that's about all, shall we move on to just a couple other video game notes?
Yeah.
This week?
Yep, sounds
fair
good.
Enough then. Well, I guess the big news that broke just after we finished recording last week, that was very, very handy that it happened just after we finished once again, I wouldn't say bashing, but criticizing Microsoft for their approach to everything. They actually come out and they pulled off what I've seen some people refer to as the Xbox 180.
Yes.
That's a cute little term there. I've gone back on basically...
everything that they tried to sell.
Everything they tried to sell, yeah. A lot of the stuff that... I mean, if you heard something about the Xbox you didn't like over the over E3, chances are they've changed it, because there's going to be... it's going to be region-free, no always-on. It's just going to be the one-time online setup, which will push through a patch that disables all these features. No online, no DRM, used games can be sold just like normal and the PS4. They've just gone back on everything they've said.
Although
they
did cancel the family plan thing where your friends or family members, you know, that have been friends for at least 30 days or whatever it is.
Yes.
Could play what was rumored to be a timed demo of about 45 minutes to an hour at most, I think. So that plan is gone now, so
I guess because it was tied into all the other stuff they were doing with
but it was interesting, like 4 days earlier Major Nelson, you know, one of the key guys, said, oh, you know, it's not a switch you can just sort of turn off.
And then,
yeah,
yeah, then,
4 days
then
later,
here comes a firmware update. Yeah. And I'll admit that even though I am, you know, 99% going towards the PS4 and to the point where I'm very close to making the pre-order, the change at least makes me think, okay, well, I'll at least see what else they're doing. Yeah. But my concern is if they can turn it on, turn it off that easily.
They can turn it back on.
They can turn it back on, exactly. And, that would be suicide from a marketing standpoint, especially after they've had to bow to pressure in the first place. But, and we've spoken about how Sony could potentially remove features as well. So, I mean, we're at the mercy of these companies, whichever way we go. Although, at least now we could, both companies are saying that you can never, once after that initial update, you can never connect it again and it'll be fine. Yep. You can play offline. So, I guess there's that option that you never have to grab those updates. But, I mean, a lot of damage has been done.
Yeah, agreed.
At this point,
agreed.
So, does it matter at this point? Or if there are too many people, do you reckon have switched over to PS4 and are saying, "Well, yep, that's nice, but
too late,
too little, too late." Yep. Yeah, because they're very strong-headed about the whole situation at E3,
and their sort of attitude from their initial press conference when they launched it to even the messaging after E3 and that, the initial few days, it was insulting to the gamers in a sense. So,
oh, absolutely, yeah. Which we spoke about many times in our special E3 special series of podcasts.
Yep.
We just, the arrogance.
Yep.
We just didn't like it. And was that enough? Is this going to be enough to bring people back?
Yep. I made a strong-handed post on my Facebook and I think Twitter and I think even on IGN forums.
Yeah, I might ask you not to repeat that because it might be a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
But the basic gist of it is that, do you go back? Do you trust this company that's and to go back? And that's, again, why I say I'm still leaning towards PS4 and Sony. You don't want to be a sucker.
Yep.
And you feel if you go back to that, fool me once, that kind of
thing. Yeah, shame on me, kind of. Yeah. There was sort of with my second part that I had mentioned, I sort of have a better analogy. It's not as harsh as my first one. Like, I admit that one's the harshest point. The sort of reversal that they've done appears to be, it's like when an athlete we'll use the term athlete, gets caught using a banned substance, and how they'll only feel guilty and retract it once they've been caught out. They don't feel guilty using it. We'll use the Lance Armstrong situation, for example.
Sure.
So, that's part of the comparison from that aspect. They'll only feel guilty or feel like they've made a mistake once they've been caught.
It's sorry for being caught rather than sorry for doing it in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent way of putting it. They were so, but the fact they were so unrepentant about the whole thing through E3, and then they did the 180.
Yep.
you just got to imagine what they've looked at with the numbers of the pre-orders or whatever, or the feedback and everything, and just realized this is tanking something fierce.
Yeah. And then
because
the fact
they were so hard-headed about it.
Oh yeah, and it was so funny looking at their forums, on the official forums, that they totally nuked it, but you couldn't even start a thread or reply to any threads because they'd just been totally cleaned out.
Yeah.
And the fact that their arrogance in not having any press conference right after their or roundtable things with the gaming site communities and all that stuff to give feedback news and sort of explain more, it was just very poor. Just it was just extremely poor and just pure arrogance, so.
And they've obviously paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And had to make these adjustments. So it will be interesting to see. Like I say, I'll see what else they do now that they've actually done a few things that appease my concerns. Although, as Penny Arcade put it, they're not getting rid of their evil camera.
Yeah, that's... for a lot of people, that's still one of the concerns, so...
Indeed. Although, if it's not always online, I guess it can't be sending data.
That's true. But you never know if someone's still able to hack it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's people still aren't keen on that.
Yep.
So it will be interesting to see what comes of that. But personally, still leaning towards the PS4 myself, although I haven't made a pre-order, as I said, but I believe you have.
Yeah.
Yep.
As soon as I went to go, because I had my pre-order of the early edition of The Last of Us, I put my pre-order down. I also went to pick up the new Blu-ray edition of Newsroom, so that was a very good day.
Did you see when I actually was in JB Hi-Fi the other day and saw all the pre-order stuff and actually saw NBA Live 14 for pre-order on the shelf? Did you see that when you were there?
Yes, I did see
the NBA Live 14 logo. I mean, so if anyone hoping to see any clues about the cover, unless we're getting a plain white cover with the NBA Live 14 logo on it and nothing else, there's no other hints on the placeholder cover at the moment. At least not the one they were using at JB Hi-Fi. But yeah, it was kind of nice to see that actually, and I did.
I almost shed a tear.
Yeah, I won't go that far, but I was like, yeah, that was cool. I wrote a Friday Five the other week why I want to see NBA Live succeed and make a strong comeback, and then followed it up last week with five reasons I think they can do it, or what I want to see out of the game at least, the very bare minimum. So yeah, it was kind of nice to see that there as a launch title, and once again that should put to rest any. we've seen the game be cancelled twice now, but it is certainly intended to be a launch title. So anyone saying that that there's currently doubt about whether it'll be coming out just because there's no release date, once again that comes down to the fact that there's no official release date for the consoles themselves yet, or a specific date. You know, it's the holiday season, 2013. So yeah. That was kind of cool just to see that in the store.
Just with the PS4,
yeah.
Basically, with the pre-orders, they were kind of set to limits, but from Amazon to other GameStop and all that around the world and other stores around the world, they're now allowed to take unlimited pre-orders.
Oh, okay.
So Sony have allowed that, so that way they can definitely, because every place had sold out. In a sense, a lot of places are sold out. Like Amazon, even though they had like three or four bundles for the PS4,
it filled their quotas.
Yep. So Sony have said, look, open the floodgates and we'll see. And it's probably good for them because then they'll get a more accurate number of how many they need to have produced. So whether their production line is able to keep up with the amount of orders. So, so definitely it will be a lot easier now to get that pre-order in if you're still interested.
Yeah, and probably not a bad idea if you are keen to make sure that you do have one. I don't fancy camping out anywhere to get in line.
That's why I did my pre-order too. It was like,
yeah, I'm an enthusiastic gamer, but there's a limit on just what I'll subject myself to be the first in line to get my copy of this or that. But, any other next gen news?
Think
it's kind of slowed down. Once again, like the NBA games, it's slowed down a little.
Yep. I'll sort of talk about a couple other games. Like just this year in Australia, we've had an 18 plus rating introduced into Australia for games. But in the past, basically 24 hours or so,
48 hours,
we've had two games already get refused classification. One is Saints Row 4, and the other is State of Decay.
Yeah, really obscure titles that, part of a popular series and have already sold 500,000 on Xbox Live, the latter. So, yeah, really obscure titles that they're denying us that.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, what was the point of this damn rating?
Yeah.
If there's still going to be things that they're going to restrict a game from being sold in this country. So as a mature gamer, I am disappointed in that. I mean, I may have not gotten these titles myself. I mean,
it's the principle of things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's kind of disheartening. Like, I may not be too worried about the used game situation for the consoles and that, but I support the cause in being able to have that option and being able to trade in or, you know, share games and all that with friends. So, yeah, it's... So I support that cause, and that's the same reason with this whole ratings thing. You know, it was, yeah, it's just sad that it should happen.
It's insulting because once again, it's saying that as adults over 18, we can't make the choice to say, well, you know what, these games do have these themes, which, look, I understand if people want to say that they shouldn't be for children because we are talking about things that if they want to restrict them to 18 plus, that's why we have the 18 plus rating now, as you said. And what was it? The Saints Row
anal,
4.
The anal probe. Alien anal probe. Or not so much the anal probe, but the alien probe. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, because people who claim to be anally probed by aliens, we don't want to offend them.
No.
You know, those crazy people with tinfoil hats. Let's not offend them. And the other one was drug use.
Yep.
Which is interesting because when Fallout was originally refused classification in Australia because Med-X, one of the chems, you know, the term they often use instead of drugs in the Fallout universe, chems, Med-X was actually called morphine, and in the game's files it actually is called morphine still. And Australia, the classification board, wasn't too happy about that, so it was a whole thing. I think they originally always said, "Oh no, they renamed it everywhere, so it wasn't just Australia they called it Med-X." But I can see why they want to do it. I know drugs are, you know, drugs are bad, okay. but, you know, just to throw the public service announcement out there. But again, it's a video game. And it's, if you want to combat these things in real life.
Yep.
Especially violence and sexual assault and everything. You know, I have no regard for people who do those kinds of things in real life. You know, that those people are scum. If you commit those acts, you know, and if you murder people or anything in real life, hurt people, you know, you deserve to get punished to the full extent of the law.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, it was just the other day. I don't have the story in front of me, so I'm just going to be very vague on the details. But a former sex offender, I believe, was released on parole, went out, and within the hour had committed another sex crime. And I'm thinking, well, why are we so lenient to allow that? But then a game depicts something that's as ridiculous as alien anal probing, and we're going to say that's not on. I mean, what are our priorities as a society?
I reckon.
And I know this may go beyond a podcast about video games to talk about, and it's, you know, if I had easy answers to everything, I'd be a wealthy man. But, you know, priorities. You know, we seem to be going after the easy targets of digital media rather than actually fixing problems in society. I just think it's ridiculous. And like you said, you know, what is that rating for?
Exactly. It, you know, it was to give adult gamers that choice of whether they want to play that game or not, and to stop children below the age of 18 from getting their hands on it. So, pointless exercise. I talked with Andrew before we started recording. I find it more offensive on seeing it on like a TV show because it's more simulated realism in that sense, where it's an actual person simulating taking these drugs or doing this act, as opposed to a digitally created character.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, it's in that sort of sense. So it doesn't quite make that sense when I can see a movie and can see an MA movie that has more crazy sort of based stuff, or even an M TV show or MA based TV show, and yet in a video game where it's not an authentic real person, where it's just digital code, it can't happen. It's crossing the boundaries.
I guess that the argument they make is that it's because it's giving the user control, so you are quote unquote doing it. But there's been a lot of people that I've played a lot of violent games over the years and yet never got into a fight.
Yeah.
And I've played a lot of shooters, and I have no interest in owning a gun. And I don't want to offend anyone who out there who's into gun ownership. I mean, we have lots of different ideas about that around the world, of course. But personally, I'm not interested in owning or operating a gun, firing a gun. But even though I've played games to do it, I mean, that's why I play games. I do things that in games that I wouldn't in reality. like eat mushrooms and jump on mutated plants. You know, there was that one time, you know, we've all had crazy nights on the town.
That's true.
Where we've fought piranha plants. But
one time at band camp,
gone down the pipes into the sewers, and you know, fought reptilian monsters. I mean, it happens. But well, you know, maybe not in your neck of the woods, but yeah, it's I'm still amazed we got Mortal Kombat 9, the collector's edition, through. That they immediately, you know, and hats off to NetherRealm and Warner Brothers for pushing that through and saying, okay, you've got the M18 rating, you want to take another look at this, and you know, they actually let it through. which was nice. So that's legally able to be sold in Australia. And the other thing we were talking about before we started recording, there are some quote unquote dating simulators out there. So these Japanese games, and some of them, I won't name them, but I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about. That you can, dating is certainly a very generous term for what you're doing in these games.
One-sided form of dating.
Rather, yes. Let's put it that way. That's a good way of putting it. You know, if they want to ban a game like that, that's fine. I mean, those games are kind of, not just kind of sick, they're quite sick.
Yes.
You know, I don't think there's no reason for that or to cater to that fetish. So if you want to ban that, I'm quite okay with that. I don't want to see that, and I don't think anyone should be playing those games. You know, and I apologize if that offends anyone, but those games are really sick. So, you know, if you want to ban that, that's cool. But it's I was actually just thinking, what's the young actress? Or I think she might be an adult now. She was in the War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise.
Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning. I remember she had a movie where she. I forget which one it was, but she filmed a rape scene as a minor. I mean, obviously, it wasn't porn. It was done for drama.
Yep.
But, I mean, you've actually got her as a minor filming that scene and miming it, and you let that movie into Australia, but you don't let it in a video game? I mean, it's just weird. When you start to draw lines in the sand, it's kind of like comedy. When you start to say this isn't funny or this is off limits, you do start setting strange and dangerous precedents.
Agreed.
But very disappointing for and I guess it goes to show that a lot of the reclassifications was probably to bump up the ratings of games that were M15 plus before.
Yeah.
Not so much to allow for certain games to say, well, okay, you know, we trust you, adult gamer. You know, you can smoke yourself to death or drink yourself to death, but if you want to actually, you know, kill some sprites, kill some 3D models, you know. Blow off some steam. No, that's wrong.
I'm probably thankful The Last of Us got in.
Yeah.
You know, with the hell, that was a proof.
Did you see the controversy over the Ellen Page, the actress?
Yes, who, yes. Claiming... But I can understand, like, with the Ellie model, in the early, like, when they first showed off Ellie as a character, probably kind of did look a little bit more like Ellen Page, but they remodeled her. Shortly after the VGAs, when they first showed off the game, you know, but Ellen Page has such a generic look in a lot of ways. You know, she can look like anybody. I mean, bleach blonde her, or yeah, make her hair blonde, and she can look like freaking Justin Bieber. So, so yeah, it's not such a set distinct look. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of an overreaction, or maybe a kind of misquote, I guess, that sort of escalated into being such a overblown story. Yeah.
People picked up on it, I guess. That's...
I think she just got sick of people trolling her, that, you know, people were thinking it was her instead of Ashley Johnson, who was the little girl from, like, Growing Pains and all that stuff. So, yeah, just probably people admittedly not knowing who it was, or people just trolling just for laughs.
Stop tweeting me.
Yeah, because she was actually getting a lot of tweets, you know, saying, "Oh, I loved your performance in The Last of Us." It's like, that's not me.
Yeah, thanks. But...
Yeah. For those who are wanting to know, Ellen Page is in Beyond Two Souls. That is officially hers. That, and same with William Dafoe as well. He's in that. Apparently, also with The Last of Us, it comes out today that an artist, the guy that does a lot of the sort of tunnel, or not so much tunnel, but train maps for a lot of cities, his artwork was apparently for the actual Boston subway system was actually used in the game.
Oh.
So yeah, and he was kind of felt like his artwork was stolen.
And you've actually finished the game since the last podcast, haven't you? Or had you finished it last week?
No, no. I think I was about between the 75% to 80% mark in that. And yeah, I finished it a couple of nights ago. And I have started a second playthrough and started playing the multiplayer aspect of it. And yeah, this game was like I've never actually been so affected by a game in my life. I've
a lot of people saying it.
Yeah, and. I have looked at a lot of Twitter posts from it, and the consensus seems to be that I'm not the only one in this sort of thing. So I'm really happy for it. I'm seeing a lot of people get it and how they react to it. And yeah, there's some really, really strong moments in this game that will sit with you for a long time.
Yeah. Penny Arcade actually did a comic about it as well,
yep.
with Tycho finishing it, and then he just sort of wanders into his room and hugs his daughter.
Yep.
Just...
And it is seriously like that. And there's multiple moments where you would, as a parent, do that. So, there's about four moments where I actually had tears in my eyes. Mm. And I was heavily affected by it. And, like, even since the first playthrough... And I actually, when I started the second playthrough, I've actually found a couple of things that I missed, and it sort of adds a slight bit more to it, even though I'm not that far along into the second playthrough, but there's a couple of things that I missed early on, and yeah, it adds to, you sort of think back and think, wow, kind of thing, and sort of, wow, it's, yeah, trust me, it's that thought-provoking, this game, and I can understand some people might not sort of feel the same way about it, they might not... be into this type of genre or think it's too much of a movie sort of thing, but if you consider an interactive movie, that might sort of change your perception on it. But yeah, I urge anyone who has a PS3 or can get their hands on playing one, take a look at the game. Like I said, I've never been so affected by a game before. There were some moments in Uncharted 2 and 3 that was sort of hard. There's like a scene in Uncharted 3 that really stuck out. And what happens is Nathan Drake, he just, a spoiler for those who haven't played, it's been about three years since it came out.
I think we're good. If you've still not played it and such,
He basically has just come back from being almost shipwrecked off a pirate cruise liner and all that stuff. So, and he finds Elena, which is his key love interest and all that. And, you know, he's just washed up on shore and he's just gotten back to... They're in Yemen at this stage, so he's just gone back to the hotel room where she's at. And then he's, like, all fatigued and tired and dehydrated and hasn't eaten probably for a couple of days. And there's this honest, really heartfelt moment where they're just sort of on the couch and he puts his head down on her lap and they're talking and... Because their relationship had sort of broken up between between game 2 and 3, and you sort of get this huge moment of, you know, where Drake sort of discusses how he's sorry, how things went wrong, and all that stuff. But just the emotional connection that you get into that's one of the other times that I've only been hit by a game, and it was like, it was just a beautiful, honest moment.
Yeah.
And sorry, go on.
I was saying a couple of weeks ago, Doug Walker. Commonly known as the Nostalgia Critic over at thatguywiththeglasses.com, channel awesome, did a video editorial on our video games art. And he said that even if you, for the people who don't think they're art, you've got to think that they could be, or they're an evolving form of art.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at a point where movies have kind of come as far as they can, or for the moment at least, they've come a long way as far as storytelling and such.
Yeah.
When you look at the old days, the old movies where they break into song spontaneously, and now perhaps over the years, or certainly when we got the classic movies like The Godfather and Taxi Driver, and you know, there's so
Citizen
many.
Citizen Kane and...
Citizen Kane, like all the milestone movies and Gone with the Wind and such. You know, and the movies have constantly evolved as an art form, especially since that we got talkies.
Yeah.
Since it wasn't just piano music set to people in black and white film with the occasional slide with dialogue. I mean, since we moved to talkies, we've certainly come a long way with the storytelling and whatnot.
Exactly.
To the point where it's like theatre, you know, just... where we might have looked at an opera or Shakespeare's plays as the epitome of storytelling and art in that form of art. Now we can look at movies that way, but also now we're getting to the point where games can be that as well, which is really cool because, you know, it's no longer just save the princess by jumping on things and getting a single screen at the end with a mistranslation of the word, congratulations, you have won. You know, we've gone beyond that to such sophisticated games. And, you know, so it is cool for you to be talking about that and saying, you know, that you're affected by it, because just as you might watch a powerful movie, you know, and because games are engaged and you can make choices Are there multiple endings in Last of Us? Is there?
No, not at this stage. But apparently,
it just twists and turns in the story.
Yeah, and just sort of
again, you're still role playing as the characters,
exactly.
So you still kind of become that. So
exactly, but you get so emotionally invested in these characters, it's
evolution of the art.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
And it take into account like what David Cage was talking about at the PS4 announcement when he was about to demonstrate the sort of Dark Sorcerer tech demo with the old man. You know, when he showed off that tech demonstration, you know, the story that he went on about how the cinema, what's the word I'm looking for? The history of cinema, how that evolved from its young, the evolution of it, that's the word.
Yep.
From when it started from still cameras and no sound to what has become now, you know. So
3D.
Yeah, but it's the same process with games now. It's evolving into the next step. And again, I'll bring up the point that I think I made the last podcast was The Last of Us outsold or made more money than The Man of Steel on the opening weekends because they both came out on the same day worldwide. So yeah, I think it's a huge sign where games are going. And yeah, they might cost more, but I think people are getting more value for money. And if there was a quote that I wanted to bring up last week in regards to George Lucas saying, you know, oh, someday movies are going to cost $150 a ticket. I'm like, yeah.
Do you also then get a pre-order of a DVD and like your TV to watch it on? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Wow,
exactly. So,
but then again, George Lucas also said that he had the whole Star Wars trilogy and prequel mapped out from the beginning when the original one was quite clearly a standalone film. So, you know, shall we put a lot of stock in what Mr. Lucas says? I mean,
that's true.
He says a lot of things, you know.
But, so yeah.
Although I should say he certainly has done a lot of good things as well and creative things. So.
Oh yeah.
More money than I've got. Yeah. So once again, I've got to wake up tomorrow and not be George Lucas. So.
That's a harsh reality.
Yeah.
And
I actually tape a note to the side of my bed so the first thing I see when I wake up, you are not George Lucas. It's a good way to start the day.
Yeah.
You are not George Lucas, LeBron, or LeBron James, or even Darko Milicic. Yeah, I like positivity to start off my mornings. But yeah, it's really cool that it's affected you that much. And it's what I keep hearing is like a friend who has a PS3 said, you know, when they come down in price and they're almost cheap as chips when they're ready to release the new one, the new consoles, PS4 and Xbox One, pick it up and pick up the game, you know. And certainly if I get a chance to play it somewhere or see a bit of it. I kind of don't want to look on YouTube and spoil it just in case I do get an opportunity to play it.
Like, I have seen a lot of people, you know, where they've watched on YouTube or other streaming devices where they've watched people do playthroughs of it and they've still been affected by it.
Mm.
But I think it might take out about maybe 10 to 20% of that immersion factor because you're not physically going through that journey with them, and these players might miss something. They might, you know, from a small conversation or a clue or a note that a person's left to loved ones and that. So there might be elements that they might miss, so you don't get to see it. So, and because of that, you don't get that little bit of personal touch in that. But they are still having an effect by it, but I think it would be it's a greater effect for those to actually play it themselves and experience it. There's even a podcast on IGN at the moment saying, you know, is it the greatest... here we go, Podcast Beyond. Is The Last of Us the best game story ever told? So that's the discussion that they're having at this stage with their thing. And a lot...
I still vote for Pac-Man myself. That everything, ghosts, a hero, dots.
Pills and ghosts, Puts what's the name of that movie? Fight Club to Shame. Weird twists. Yeah. So it's an interesting time.
We do not talk about Pac-Man.
Yeah. First rule of Pac-Man.
First rule of Pac-Man, there's no talking about power pills.
And like I said, I think I said after last week's podcast, I definitely want people to play it because I want to have that engaging conversation. I mean, I want to do this massive write up but I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Yeah, spoiler tags all over the place.
Yeah. And sort of with last week's podcast, there was actually a mood that I was in before we were doing it. And that was actually because I was in the same mood as one of the characters in the game.
Oh,
so yeah. So that's how much it affects because, and I knew exactly why I was in this mood and why the person was in this mood is because we were sort of at the same point. It's like, yeah, but again, I don't want to give it away as to why.
Okay.
So like probably in about 2 months, I might do a proper write-up and have my thoughts on it. It's just wanting people to not spoil it for anyone to play it at this stage. So, yeah.
Exactly. Speaking of games that are coming out, I actually did just pre-order one, although pre-order is a generous term because it comes out digitally tomorrow, is Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded.
Woohoo!
is actually hitting finally. It was delayed a month. It was supposed to come out at the end of May, but the final beta testing, they found some bugs, so it got pushed back. But apparently it's coming out tomorrow from Replay Games, and it's not only a remake, they've actually added a few new puzzles and jokes to it to upgrade it, which is the second upgrade that the original Leisure Suit Larry has received. It came out in, let me see, the original came out in 1987 with EGA graphics and everything. That's old school, and they did a VGA remake in 1991, the same year the Bulls won their first championship. I managed to do it again. So this is going to be the second remake for the game, and I'm quite interested to see how it works out. It was only $20 digital download, so I thought, why not check it out, being a fan of the series, and they're looking to do the rest of the games, or at least the original sort of parser ones where you had to type in open door and get Rose and everything else. And I've just spoiled two of the early puzzles right there. Although, if that's not really much of a spoiler for the story, open door to get into the bar, Lefty's bar. So I'm quite interested to see how that's happening because I do like the adventure genre. It's one of those genres that hasn't really survived past the 90s, really, when you had all those classic games, Monkey Island and Leisure Suit Larry, King's Quest, Space Quest, Full Throttle, and all the other games from both LucasArts and Sierra that sort of gone the... and Sam & Max, of course, and that made a comeback with Telltale Games. But I'm definitely a fan of all of those, so it'll be cool to see what they've done with that. And they've actually got all the original voice talent back. The guy who did the voice in the last few Leisure Suit Larry games that actually had a voice, and the narrator, who just nailed the role perfectly. I mean, when they got Jan Rabson to do the voice of Leisure Suit Larry, and when they got the... who did LucasArts get for Guybrush Threepwood in Monkey Island? Dominic Armato. They were the voice you heard in your head for these characters. So when they finally gave them a voice, they just picked the people who just really just nailed it completely. So... You know, remakes sometimes get a bad rap, but when it comes to video games, if it's done well, you know, to take an old classic and actually allow it to be played, without DOSBox and with today's technology, yeah, I'm all for it. So I'll see how that goes, and probably even see how many of the puzzles I remember how to do, because playing through Donkey Kong Country 2 a few months back on the Super Nintendo, apparently I remember 80% of that game with the bonus levels and everything. You know, can't remember high school math, but I can still remember where all the bonus barrels are. So, you know, the important stuff,
yep.
is what I retain, I guess I should say.
Speaking of high school math, I don't know if I've mentioned this story before, but I was in grade 12, so final year, and one of my classmates, you know, he goes, does anyone remember how to do long division? And I was like, yeah. And I started... And just sort of after the first little bit, I'm like, crap, I couldn't remember what, like the sort of little steps, and I was like, holy crap. So 12 years of education, well spent.
Well, I think high school pretty much taught me to reach for a calculator whenever I had a math problem,
yeah, true.
To be honest.
But, you know, it's the simple things that you used to be able to do, probably, like, I remember doing in grade 8, 9, I think, as well, and then... To forget by grade 12 how to do the basics of it, it was like, this isn't a good sign.
But, you know, we still know where all the warp zones are in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And we know where the bonus levels are and where to find all these pickups. So, you know, once again, it's priorities, ladies and gentlemen, that that we gamers have. But is there anything else on the agenda this week, or shall we call it an evening? Because we're actually recording this at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I think we're pretty close. I think we can wrap it up. Again, community, get your Twitter questions in. And ask the right questions. Don't need to troll, I guess.
Yeah.
To put it.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, you know, this is trying to make the game that we want, and by giving them the feedback that they request can only help make this a lot easier for us or for the developers.
Yeah, or at the very least, asking questions that we're interested in. I mean, you know,
yeah,
they're not going to answer stupid questions about, you know, how do you guys feel about sucking or, you know, something stupid like that. I mean, if you got a good question, you know, hit them with it and see, and hopefully they'll be transparent and upfront and honest and informative about it.
Yeah. Obviously, there'll probably be some things, depending on the technicality of the question, that might not be able to answer yet, because they're trying to keep that kind of information closer to the chest until closer to release time. So don't worry too much if all your questions can't be answered or...
We'll definitely all keep asking them as the previous season goes on.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, the answers will reveal themselves.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is a perfect opportunity right now. I mean, when was the last time EA had done this sort of thing? So,
yeah,
we've had a developer actually have a Q&A. So
exactly.
No, on such an open forum as well. So take the opportunity, use it wisely. The reward is us getting a better product in the end to play.
And of course we'll be posting notable tidbits on the site and discussing them in the forum, forums.nba-live.com, as I almost stumble over our domain name there. and of course that's at EA Sports NBA is the Twitter to follow if you're not already, and that's where they'll be hitting them up at 3 p.m. Is it Thursday?
Yep, Thursday.
Thursday, US Eastern Time at 3 p.m. if I've got my calculations correct, but we'll probably post a reminder, I would say, between the time that this comes out and the Q&A is taking place. But I guess that is going to wrap it up for us, the dynamic duo in Leftos' absence.
He is actually in Miami celebrating with the Miami Heat.
He
jumped on that bandwagon.
Just as Danny Green did.
Yes.
That's going to be an interesting situation. I wouldn't want to answer to Pop after that situation. But we'll be welcoming Leftos back as soon as his internet is kind to him. And we here in Australia certainly know a thing or two about sketchy internet. So we do sympathize with Leftos on that one. And he'll no doubt enjoy listening to a podcast that he hasn't heard before. And not editing it, especially.
Yep.
So thanks for that, Leftos. But you can see what a wonderful job that I've done with this editing, and you can enjoy that along with everyone else. And for those who have been enjoying the podcast, what a smooth segue! you can subscribe to us on iTunes and of course on Blueberry as well. Or you can just keep streaming it here on NBA-live.com. We're pretty cool with you doing that as well. We'll let you. And you can go back and listen to all our wonderful episodes in the archives. The podcast link is all around the site and sticky in the forum with the discussion threads and whatnot. So you should be able to find all the previous episodes and enjoy them. So subscribe to us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. Follow us on Twitter @thenlsc. Keep it locked to the NLSC, NBA-live.com. So, before we go, Ben, did you want to get one last shot in at the Blues?
That was an actual great game. Like, the energy that the Queensland Maroons had was definitely far improvement from Game 1. But even if the Blues win Game 3, one season does not erase 7 straight years in a row without a win in a series. So... I think New South Wales, even if they do win Game 3, have to win a couple of years for some saving grace in their I suppose tarnished reputation at this stage. So
I'll take it. If we win one, that's still better than we've done in 8 years.
That stops the bleeding.
It stops the bleeding. It stops the drought. But yeah, so that is going to do it. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane, and I'm a happy boy today.
I'm not so happy, but I'm sure I can cheer up. See you next week.
Bye.